It's time for another installment of Pucks with Bernie and Panger. This week, our visit with the Hall of Famer, Bernie Federko. You can hear it every week. ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Also, subscribe, Apple, iTunes, wherever you get your weekly podcast. If you subscribe, that way it'll be delivered directly to you, whether it's on a game day or the day after a game. Talking a lot of hockey here on these segments. Presented by Triad Bank, Greenville University, Fast Eddie's, Urban Chestnut, and Marie Davila Senior Living. And we bring in the Hall of Famer, Bernie Federko, the pride of Foam Lake, Saskatchewan. And we've joked about it, you and I, even before this segment. It is cold, but I've always wondered, the Canadian guys playing in the U.S., when it snows an inch or two and they close the schools, I'm assuming you guys are laughing a little bit at the rest of us.
We do. There's no question about it. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, yesterday, yeah. I mean, it was unusual for November, I guess, for St. Louis, but the way people drive, especially, it's not that big a deal. If you just get your car going and keep it at a constant speed, you're going to be okay. It's the stop and start that doesn't work very well. Get some momentum going and keep going. But, hey, people panic, and that's the way it is. So you just kind of deal with it and actually stay off the roads on a day like that.
Did they close your school when you were a kid very often? I mean, like, if it's a foot of snow, did your dad get out a snowmobile? I mean, maybe I'm romanticizing it a little bit, but I just can't imagine kids in Canada having snow days.
You know, we never had school canceled. It didn't matter what the weather was. And a lot of times it was blowing snow, blizzards, 40 below. I mean, some of the kids that were bused into school obviously didn't make it. But the kids in town, and we were in town, we still had to go to school. I mean, the teachers were there. We had to be there. So, yeah, there was no such thing as a canceled day of school.
All right, we'll get into some hardcore hockey, but one more St. Louis-centric thought. We had the meteor that shot across St. Louis the other night. Did the Federko household shake? Did you hear it? Did you see it?
You know, we heard something, and you know what? I didn't even know that's what it was, but that's bizarre now that you mentioned that. You know, I wasn't paying attention to that, but, yeah, we did hear something, and so that's what it was. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, hey, you see a Stanley Cup, you see a meteor shower. You stick around, Bernie, you might see just a little bit of everything in St. Louis. Let's get to the headlines this week because they're bringing in some veteran guys, one that we know real well in Troy Brouwer, the other McGinn, because they need some depth. A lot of folks said, hey, why not go to a Klim Kostin or a Kyrou at this point. And Doug Armstrong has said, you know, we've got a fair amount of young guys already here, which, looking closer at it, I guess they do. What's your thought there on riding veteran guys as opposed to throwing some youth into the mix at this point?
Well, I think they're going to do both, to be honest with you, Martin. When I look at this roster, yeah, there is a lot of young guys. I mean, there's still a lot of veteran guys. And, I mean, as Army said, he's not really looking for anybody to come in as a leader. He just wants guys to come in maybe that are veteran guys. If they do lose another guy, if somebody got hurt, one of the veteran guys, then all of a sudden to bring and throw a young guy that's never played in the league into the fire might be too difficult. But I still expect to see at some point in time, if Kostin continues to play well, or Kyrou, whoever it may be, I wouldn't be surprised if they do get a chance, if the Blues do get an injury or two more, especially with long-term stuff like Tarasenko and Steen, at least 4 weeks. So hopefully there's not going to be any more injuries, but I think it's more of an insurance policy to try to have the older guys come in. They know exactly what the league is all about. They've been around. Both Jamie and Troy have been around a long time, so if they were thrown into the fire, it wouldn't really affect them at all. So I like this fact that he's bringing them in. Now, as he said, it doesn't mean, Martin, that they are actually going to sign them. I mean, they're going to be on a pro tryout. After 10 days, they'll make that decision, and I think that's going to be best based on how the team maybe plays for the next 10 days.
And I think Berube, his style, we know it works. They do play a heavier game, as they like to say. And a lot of these players, even De La Rose, who came over in the Fabry deal from Detroit, and you look at a Brouwer and a McGinn, they seem to all have a certain model here. Is that just sort of who the Blues are right now, looking for players that are a bit on the heavier side of the game?
Yeah, I would expect. I mean, their success was there. I mean, they finished their checks. Whether this is a really heavy team on paper or not, they do play a heavy style. They play a physical style, and that's what Craig Berube wants them to do. And so I have no problem with that. I mean, they won the Stanley Cup playing that way, and I think that there's an awful lot of teams that are starting to maybe change their philosophy a little bit and start modeling their teams on that. I mean, right now it's regular season hockey, and it's a little different, obviously, when you get to the playoffs. So you need the size, you need the grit when it comes to that. But I think the Blues right now are proving that they're a really good hockey club, even with a couple of guys out of the lineup right now, especially a key guy like Tarasenko, is because of the style they play, and it's really difficult to play against them.
It is amazing how Doug Armstrong has earned the benefit of the doubt. Now, a couple of years ago, if they don't turn to the kids, what are you doing? You're wasting this roster spot with these old guys. You win the Stanley Cup. Like, everything Doug tries to say, okay, that's fine. I mean, it gives you a lot of license. I don't think the critics are nearly as loud when you've won a cup.
Well, absolutely. And again, when you look at the moves that Doug has made, I mean, we go back to Braden Schenn, and then we go back to O'Reilly, and, you know, now all of a sudden bringing in Falk from Carolina. I mean, these are three big names that he was able to make deals for, and obviously the last two before Falk have combined to win a Stanley Cup. So, I mean, Army has really done really no wrong. Whatever he's kind of built here has been very successful, and the fact that even with Craig Berube coming in, you know, as an associate coach, and all of a sudden Yo gets fired, you know, Chief takes over, and then the next thing you know, you're winning games, and the next thing you know, you got a Stanley Cup in your back pocket. So things have really turned out really well for Army, and he deserves a lot of the credit because he's been very poised. He does not panic at all, and now I really like the way he's still building. I mean, if he missed a couple of old veterans get hurt, so he, you know, tries to maybe, hey, maybe we need to turn some new veteran guys, and we may as well try it. If it's going to work, we'll see what happens.
And the roster retooling he did the summer of 2018, you know, he signed Bozak. I don't think a lot of Blues fans knew about him. He got O'Reilly, and everybody's doing backflips. Hey, this is the kind of guy they need. This, there's, you know, people in St. Louis are going to love him. But in the middle of all that, he brought back David Perron, and I'm sure if we look back at social media, Twitter, everybody's like, oh, great, him again, third time around. But Army always liked his game, and I think you and I talked a couple of weeks ago about the Perron, the third edition of Perron has been better than we've seen. And now Berube even told me yesterday, he said he's got one of the best shots in the league. They're talking about his wrister. Perron, at this point, did you see this coming, I guess? And this is a guy who's been around St. Louis since 2007. How do you think this happens to a guy at this point in his career that everything just sort of falls in place?
You know, Martin, maybe just maturity. I mean, obviously he's got a lot of confidence going. I mean, I think this whole team, after winning the Cup, has certainly came back with that, I mean, good taste in their mouth where they're very confident in what they've done, what they've accomplished, and they want to do it again. And I don't know with David. I mean, this is the best David Perron I've seen in the three times that he's been here. In fact, this is the best I've seen David play since he came into the league. I mean, let's not forget he came in as a real youngster and kind of has found his way. But I watched him even yesterday in practice, and yeah, I mean, he's shooting the puck as good as I've ever seen anybody shoot the puck. I mean, even in practice, he's scoring almost at will, and for whatever reason. And I mean, I think he probably can't even answer that himself. I mean, he's obviously feeling very good about himself. He's skating as good as he's ever skated. He's shooting the puck. He's got that chemistry with Ryan O'Reilly, and I think that has a lot to do with it. But I think when you're having fun out there playing with guys that you like to play with on a team that is very, very capable of winning all the time, I think it makes you really have a lot more fun. And I think David's one of those guys that we talked about before, Martin, is that he's a kid in a candy store. He's always loved the game of hockey. I mean, I go back years ago, his first two times here, I mean, Christmas party, the skating party, I mean, he'd be out there with all the other players' kids playing shinny out there on the rink because he just loves to play hockey. So he's one of those guys that has now taken it to the next level. And right now he's playing like an all-star. And if he continues to play like that, he will be an all-star this year, especially with the all-star game here. What a great thing that would be for him.
It's funny that you say, you know, he loves hockey. I guarantee people are rolling their eyes. Well, how can he not love hockey? But I've been around enough football guys, baseball guys, who you can tell they're really talented, but they just don't love the sport. I mean, I think it does happen. Some guys are really good. And, you know, Eric Crouch was a famous example. A superstar college football player ends up in the NFL. They're switching positions. And I think he even said, you know, I just don't have the passion for it. So it's not always that easy. Hey, you play hockey. Of course you love hockey. Certain guys have more of a drive or a passion for that sport.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, to some guys, it's a job, and it is a job. There's no question for everybody it's a job. But I think when you have more fun at your job and you're excited to go to the rink every day, excited to put your equipment on and get on the ice, and you know that you're having a lot of fun out there, it makes it a lot easier. And I think that you could probably look around the entire league. There's probably more guys that look at it as a job than as a passion. But I think with David Perron, I think David looks at it as a passion right now. It's fun for him. It's a game that he's always loved to play, and now at the level he's playing, I think he's even having more fun than he's ever had with it.
You think teams get a mindset in overtime? And it might have been O'Reilly who told us, you know, we don't panic. Because a lot of these overtimes, to be candid, for the Blues, they could have avoided by putting a team away or not losing a late lead. But the overtime, it's thrilling. You and I have talked about the format, but when you're winning, you don't complain. None of us complain about the result. But do you think there is a mindset when you've done it as much as they have lately that you just assume you're going to win?
Absolutely. I mean, especially when you've got O'Reilly and Perron and Petrangelo on together. I mean, those three seem to just know that, hey, if they get a chance and as long as they win that faceoff. And I look right off the start. If you win the faceoff, it's almost in overtime now. Someone's going to win that game almost maybe in the first minute. And those three guys are so confident out there. I mean, they're patient, and I think that's what you have to do. I mean, I think everybody's kind of learned the three-on-three a lot more now. And the good teams, especially with the good players, they know that, hey, they don't have to do it right away. If there's an opportunity, go ahead and pull the trigger. But don't take a shot from a bad angle. You know, take an honest chance of scoring a goal before you take a shot. I mean, it doesn't matter if you skate outside the blue line, make another swing at it. If you have to do a change again to another teammate, as long as you don't lose possession of the puck. And I think that this team right now has got that extra. I don't even know what to call it. They got that extra sense that they are going to win that game. It's become almost like a habit now that I really believe that, and I think they believe that if they go to a three-on-three overtime, there's a 90% chance that they are going to win the game.
And Craig Berube, a couple of interesting thoughts. He said in the OT, he said one of our goals is don't lose possession of the puck, which you referenced there. But part of that is not taking bad shots that are going to ricochet and go the other way. And a lot of fans will just scream, shoot the puck. I've probably done it from the press box at times on a power play during a game. But it's smart in OT not to have a dumb shot where you'd lose that possession. He said that the team's become really good at that, like knowing when to shoot. Probably in other parts of the game are you more likely to just fire it. But maybe in OT, is that a mindset too where you got to be more judicious?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Martin. I mean, I think the perfect example was in Vancouver when Tyler Myers took that shot high and wide, and then all of a sudden bowled two guys over of his own teammates, and it was a 3-on-0 that the Blues ended up scoring on. But those are the things you cannot do. I mean, everybody always says, hey, a shot on goal is always a good thing. Well, no, it's not. Not in a 3-on-3. You got to score. You got to be shooting to score. You don't be shooting to get for a rebound or whatever you're doing. In 3-on-3, you want possession the entire time, and you don't want to take any foolish shots, especially from a bad angle, and you certainly don't want to miss the net when you're shooting. If the goaltender has to make the save, yes, you get a face-off, that's okay, and then you got to win the face-off. But I think that Craig's philosophy is exactly it. Let's not lose possession of the puck. If we don't get a good opportunity with the first three guys, then, you know, let's not turn it over, get the next three guys on, give them the puck, you know, on the exchange, and see if they get a breakdown and are able to score a big goal. But it's become very much a different game now. I mean, I think that everybody really works on 3-on-3 now, and they know that there's an extra point at stake, and if you get that extra point, it's going to add up a lot for the end of the year standings.
A former Blues coach heading towards a coaching milestone. We'll get Bernie's thoughts on that next. Great to have Urban Chestnut on board. You know about their great beer and the great beer garden hanging out in the Grove. They've expanded. There's just been the explosion of craft beers, but boy, it goes way beyond that with Urban Chestnut. They have become part of the St. Louis scene. I love that Urban Underdog. If you haven't had it, it's a great American lager. A lot of beer snobs out there. I get it. My wife is a perfect example. Not a huge beer fan. I rolled out a little Urban Underdog. She absolutely loved it. So whatever your palate is, they've got a taste for you. You know about the Panger Award presented by the good folks at Urban Chestnut every single week. Huge hockey fans. And really, you can find their product now all around town, whether you're at the Schnucks Grocery Store, or if you're at the sporting event, Blues game. How about at the zoo? That's right. I had the Grizzly Ridge Colch the other day. They have expanded. It's not just the great product, it's the great people behind it. It's more than just this beer that you're enjoying. They're part of the movement in St. Louis, getting things done and changing the whole area there, the Grove. And if you talk about the connection with the MLS, I think we had the big celebration with the MLS for the Lou. That was at Urban Chestnut in the Grove location. You can find them all around town. I started with the Wingnut, still love that, moved into the Zwickel. Currently just hooked on Urban Underdog. Check them out. Neighborhood grocery store, liquor store, guaranteed all around town. It's Urban Chestnut, part of the St. Louis sports community.
Since 1960, serving the families of St. Louis, Marie Davila Senior Living. At the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful fountain greets you for the 22-acre campus. Full range of senior living, independent living at the Villa Estate, skilled nursing, memory care. They have it all. Spacious dining room, salon, transportation around town, exercise and pool, private rooms, hands-on care. You're not a resident at Marie Davila, you are considered a guest. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan and their sons live on site. It is family run, and it has that family feel. You've heard Tony and I talk about how this was home for the legendary Red Shandings for many years. He was also on the board and helped the original owners start Marie Davila back in 1960. MarieDavila.com. We suggest you go online and schedule a tour.
Here's the owner of the world-famous Fast Eddie's Bonair, Eddie Scholler, and Hall of Fame hockey legend Brett Hull.
Eddie, I was just telling some friends about Fast Eddie's Bonair, and I just didn't have the words to describe it.
Well, Brett, I've had that same problems for years. The words I use are, you know, it's a lot of fun, it's huge, it's an adventure.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. This place is more than a bar. I mean, the coldest beer, the best live entertainment, everyone knows about the great food, but Fast Eddie's is far more than that.
I'll tell you what, it's kind of like, I don't know anybody that's been to heaven, but I'll bet you that's hard to describe too.
Well, I sure hope I get to heaven,
telling
I can
me.
Tell you that.
You're telling me.
Fast Eddie's experience is tough to describe, and all I know is it is fun.
Man, I'll tell you what, we've been here 35 years, and it explains itself. I don't know if it's as good as heaven, but it might be heaven on earth.
Well, I would write it down in your notes in your phone, because once you get home, the experience is going to be hard to remember. I've been all over the world, and there's only one Fast Eddie's Bonair. So if you're 21, head over to Clark Bridge to Fast Eddie's Bonair in Alton.
All right, you just heard the commercial. That's Fast Eddie hanging with Brett Hull. That's a party I need to be invited to. And joining us on the line, the one and only Fast Eddie from Fast Eddie's Bonair in Alton, where they're always serving up a lot of fun, great food. You got to tell us, hanging with Brett Hull, you got an idea what that might be like. What was it actually like in person?
I'd say imagine it and then multiply it, because it's real. That's him. That's who it is. And it's that much fun, man.
You're a guy who likes to have fun. But like Brett Hull takes it to another level.
I party for a living, and I teach people how to party. and that guy can come right along with me any day. He keep up with the best of them.
I party for a living, and I teach people how to party. That's it, man. You know what I've said about Fast Eddie's? It's a mood-changing experience. I've never been in there and looked around and seen anybody in a bad mood. You might see them walking in with a frown, but boy, once they sit, and there's always groups of people. They could be mad at their boss or their dog, and all of a sudden they go into Fast Eddie's, and they just nobody's having a bad time.
Yeah, you definitely forget about your troubles. There's no windows for a reason, man. You leave the world out behind you when you walk in, and it's definitely coming in a bad mood. You leave out there 12 hours later, you've been laughing all 12 of them.
And I know you love baseball, and you're hanging with Mike Shannon, you're down at Cardinal games, but I think I've sensed this, and I've seen you down there in recent years, certainly with the cup run. It's been fun, but you've kind of gravitated towards hockey, and there was a night they were fighting back. I was at the TV job, and we were texting, and you said, "Man, I like this team, because they've got a little bit of balls, and they'll push back."
I love the way they take care of each other too. It's fun to watch, man. They're really on it. It's just a work team. They're just a very, they got a lot of spirit in the team attitude. Dude, these guys are good, man. They're really good.
And it's fun for the city, you know. I mean, I grew up here. Absolutely. You grew up here. Everybody's got like 3 Cardinal shirts in their closet, maybe more.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, you go to the store, you go to Fast Eddie's, everybody's wearing Blues gear.
It's amazing, man. I tell you, you go places where you would have always seen 10-1, and now it's 10-3. You know, if you count the whatever the ratio is, and the Blues people are popping up, man. It's coming out. They're getting into it more and more. New people are watching it. It's cool, you know. It took some winning to do it, but that's what gets them there.
Everybody loves a winner. Here's what people ask me. They say, "What are you going to eat when you go to Fast Eddie's?" I'm like, "I'm going to probably work my way through the menu if I hang for a couple hours." But they go, "What about Eddie? If you're there all the time, what do you order? Do you have a go-to?"
I still have a go-to. I order the bratwurst, and then I order the Big Elwood and fries. You got to have our fries. But you have the bratwurst and the Big Elwood are original to the place. You can't get them anywhere else. And you can't go wrong, I promise.
And the doors open at 1 o'clock Monday through Thursday, 11 o'clock on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They've got live music going every single day. I've been there on the weekends where there's live music in back. There's live music on the patio. Party never stops at Fast Eddie's.
Pretty cool.
We'll talk to you soon, my man.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot.
Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank located in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're just west of Lindbergh. Real easy access off Highway 64, get to Lindbergh, and you are there. Founded in 2005, a wide range of commercial and personal banking services. And how about this? They actually have people behind the counter, people there ready to greet you, ready to help you. Business owners looking to expand, talk to the bank based in St. Louis. Those decisions are being made here. How frustrating is that? You're trying to get a loan for your business, and the decision is made in New York or Los Angeles, not with Triad Bank. You can find out more at triadbanking.com. Home equity lines of credit,
5-star rated bank, $360 million in assets. Check them out. TriadBanking.com.
Less than an hour from St. Louis, it's Greenville University. Founded in 1892, this liberal arts institution offers pre-med, offers online student involvement. Yeah, that's right. They'll get involved in local businesses, immersed in the community. A great little town of Greenville, Illinois, less than an hour from St. Louis if you're looking to get away for college, but maybe don't want to go too far. It's right up the road from St. Louis. Great professors, really a great experience. Kids involved in the athletics, but again, everybody is really immersed in what they're doing on the campus at all times. Greenville.edu for more information about this great institution.
We went blue!
Love hearing from Brett Hull as we come back from the break here and digging in on some of the NHL headlines. It's Joel Quenneville closing in on 900 career wins, 307 of those in St. Louis. I know, Bernie, you didn't play for him, probably played against him at some point. How do you look back on the Quenneville era here in St. Louis?
Well, you know what? Joel did such a great job here as a coach. I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, a former player that everybody's kind of like Craig Berube. I mean, former player that everybody liked and everybody wanted to play for. I mean, he did a marvelous job. He had a real good team. And I think the one disappointment that Joel will have the most is that he was not able to win a Stanley Cup here. Had some really good players, and they had some great years. But unfortunately, we saw finally it happen this last year with the Blues winning the Cup. But I can't say enough about the good things to say about Joel, because he's a marvelous man. He does a great job coaching. And to be thinking that he would be at 900 wins is really absolutely astronomical. I mean, you think about the great Scotty Bowman with over 1,000 wins, but you know, for Joel to be in second is really very, very incredible.
How about the fact that on the Blues resume, career-wise, you know, Quenneville and Bowman were here, Al Arbor was here, even Mike Keenan, who has, you know, a legendary name, he was here, Red Berenson, somebody you played for, Ken Hitchcock, a lot of these guys are on that all-time wins list, all spent time in St. Louis. And you had Emil Francis. Did you have him twice?
Just once. No, he was a general. He coached first, and then just went over to general manager. You know, once I was here the first year, then he stepped at Barkley Plager. Well, Leo Boivin took over the second year I was here, and then Barkley took over after that, and then Red. And of course, there was a revolving door after that. But I think the one thing that's amazing, though, Martin, is that I don't think Joel gets enough credit for what he's done. I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, the great Scotty Bowman. You talk about Al Arbor. You mentioned, you know, Mike Keenan and this and that. I don't think Joel gets enough credit. I mean, Joel's at the top of the list with, you know, with those guys, and I think that he needs to get more credit. And I think that Florida was very, very wise to you know, take a chance and bring him back and have him coach the Florida Panthers. All of a sudden, they're in a playoff position right now, and I think Joel will continue to drive that team. Everybody, as I said, loves to play with him, and I think that's when you have a coach that you really enjoy playing for, I think you play a lot harder.
I think it's because he's somewhat, you know, unassuming, because I think, you know, Keenan had an aura, Hitch had the gift of gab, Scotty Bowman had a mystique to him, whereas Q's just kind of, I mean, I know he's got intensity and he's obviously got great hockey acumen, but I don't think he does anything outside the norm. There's no flamboyance. There were some of these guys I've mentioned had a little extra to their game, so they tended to get more headlines.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, he's matter of fact, and I like exactly the way you talk about that. Is that, I mean, he stands behind the bench there, and the thing good about Joel is that he does get emotional at times. I mean, I don't like a coach that is just totally blasé the whole time. I mean, Joel's fiery when something happens that he disagrees with. I mean, he's not afraid to you know, to chime in or yell at the ref or you know, yell at one of the players. And I think that the guys respect that. And, you know, maybe he should be a little more flamboyant and maybe he'd get more credit. But I think his record speaks for itself.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of moments. I think there was one. He may have done a crotch grab on the bench at the referee. That's a famous piece of video online. And then a classier moment that I was told, and I don't know that I've ever asked him about it, but when Troy Brower, who we just talked about, scored the goal, Game 7, thrilling playoff win for the Blues. The Hawks were the defending champs at that point, I believe, and they're doing the handshakes. And I was told that Coach Q told a number of the Blues, especially people that he knew from back in the day, I hope you guys go and win it. And that's a guy in the same division, and I'm pretty sure, based on talking to enough people, that that's true. But that's a guy who was fired by the Blues and still felt strongly enough to say, I hope you guys go and do it.
Well, he was like that, too, and I've talked to him a number of times since he left here. He always wanted to come back, and unfortunately, you know, that didn't work out. But, you know, Joel loved the Blues organization, and, you know what, he didn't want to leave. When he was fired, he loved it here, and he would have loved to have stayed here and won a cup with his team. But I talked to him many times. You know, after they won the cups, he, you know what, he really believed that, hey, St. Louis, the fans here especially, deserve a cup, and he was always rooting for the Blues to get their cup, and I know that he was very delighted when the Blues won the cup this time.
All right, final thought. Does Bernie Federico still do a nap after the morning skate? I know that's the ritual. I feel like the announcers go home and take naps. Panger probably needs one, but is that part of your game day routine still?
Martin, if I had more than only one job, I might be able to have a an nap.
You got work
nap,
to do,
no.
Man.
I have work to do. I would wish I could have an afternoon nap, but there's no such thing.
All right, it's Pucks with Bernie and Panger, the Hall of Famer Bernie Federico with us right here on Scoops with DannyMac.com, presented by Triad Bank, Marie Davila Senior Living, Greenville University, Fast Eddie's, and Urban Chestnut. Bernie, have a great time this week. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Mark. Hey, you have a great day.